And he said he got married at like 19, and she was like 17. And they immediately started getting pregnant. And they had babies, two or three, whatever it was. And then when he got to be about 28 or 29, all of a sudden some of his buddies want to go down to the beer hall and have a beer, and they want him to go, but they don't want her to go. They want to go by themselves. You know, boys' night out. Every man needs a boys' night out. That's hogwash. You're supposed to have your boys' night out before you got married. And when you get married, ain't no such thing as boys' night out. Ain't no such night as girls' night out. You know, that's nonsense. You got married, you now become one. You do what you do. You take care of each other. So he goes to running around. And, of course, he first comes home by 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. And his wife ain't too happy with that. But when he starts hanging out with the boys and playing poker, penny poker, and all that junk or whatever he's doing until 2 and 3 in the morning, and then he finally comes home, she just knows he's running around with another woman. He is not. But she knows he is. She, in her heart, she believes he is. Well, his other woman is his sin with his guys. And so since she thinks he's running around to get even with him, she finds her a man, and she does run around. Now then, when he finds out about it, it breaks his heart. I told him, I said, you were an idiot. You know, I said, you should have stayed home and take care of that wife. I said, you wouldn't have the problem. And he told me, he said, well, I'm fixing to get married again. I said, well, you better take care of this one. If you don't, you'll have the same problem. He said, well, this will work if she don't mess it up. I said, you might as well not get married. It ain't going to work. I said, the only way you can make it work, get in the Word of God and do what God tells you. Because it's amazing what happens. But it says here that this woman's going to get pregnant, and God's going to give her, she's going to give birth to a son. Then he gives her some instructions. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink or eat any forbidden food. If that was forbidden food, alcoholic drink, wine, if that was good advice for this woman because she's going to bring a little son of God into the world, it might be good advice for the average woman today that when you're pregnant, don't smoke, don't drink, eat good foods. Do you think that makes sense? I think it makes great sense because that little child that you're carrying in your womb, where does it get its food? From whatever you eat. And if you're a smoker, your child may be afflicted with something. If you're out running around drinking, or surely drugs. Now then, I went down to the Children's Medical Hospital in Dallas here a while back, and I walked through the corridors of that hospital, and I have never been so dumbfounded by what I saw. I saw so many little children, from little bitty things up to 10 or 12 years old, riding in wheelchairs or sitting in wheelchairs, up and down the corridors of that hospital with every kind of deformity in the world you can imagine. I mean, some of them didn't have any arms. Some of them had a half arm. Some of them had no legs. I couldn't stand it. As a pastor, I would stop a doctor. I'd say, doctor, that child back there, do you have any idea why that child was born without an arm? He said, well, the only explanation I can give you is that the child's mother and father, they were not married, and they were both drug addicts, or that they were heavy drinkers or whatever. And as I talked to several doctors, what they knew, every one of them came back the same thing. I rounded up in one word, sin. Sin. In other words, the mothers and dads, they're drunkards, they're on drugs, they're smokers, they're wild, they're wicked, and God says in His Word, if you will not serve me, if I will not only curse you, but I will curse your children. I thought, wow, here's all these precious little things that's cursed, and they're going to be cursed all of their life. Body parts missing, arms missing. It was unbelievable what I saw in that hospital. And of course, almost every one of them, their fathers and mothers, were either drug addicts, they were heavy smokers, they were alcoholics, wine bibblers, or something. So the advice I could give to anybody, if you plan to raise children and you're going who get pregnant, make sure, first of all, that you're married to the man that you go to bed with. And number two, make sure that you and your husband are in agreement you want this child. And then make sure that you, the woman, eat and drink proper foods. I will have to say, please don't drink diet canned drinks and carry a baby. Because that, I've seen that cause deformities and everything else in a good mother and father, yet whenever their children are carried in the womb, and in fact, the greatest story of this aspartame, there was a woman that was going to die, and prayer didn't help her, nothing wouldn't help her. And so she was from Florida, and so she goes back to Florida to die. I mean, she's getting stiffer, she's in a wheelchair, she can't walk, she's just getting worse and worse and worse shape. Prayer didn't appear to affect her at all. So she goes to Florida knowing that in a matter of a few weeks or a few months, she's going to die. And when she was down there, she went to some person. I don't know how she found out of this person. God obviously led her to this person. And it was a health specialist. And the lady asked her, what do you eat and drink? And so she began to tell her what she ate and everything and drank. When she finally got to Diet Cokes, she said, how many Diet Cokes do you drink a day? She said, oh, anywhere from 3 to 6 every day. She said, why don't you quit drinking Diet Cokes and just drink good, clean water and let's see what happened. The woman quit drinking aspartame, started drinking good, clear water, and in 1 week, this woman was out of the wheelchair walking normal. In 1 week, I thought to myself, do you think I would drink a Diet Coke? No. I would never have drank one anyway, but I will have to say, I used to drink normal, you know, soda pop, we call them. My wife, she was a Dr. Pepper addict. You know, she she loved them. You know, now, of course, you know, she would only drink one a day if she went somewhere, and she had a little bit of discipline, but whenever we got married and I found out how she liked Dr. Peppers, I went and bought a carton, or what do you call it, 12 or 24, you know, put it in the refrigerator. I didn't know I was supposed to get chewed out. She said, who put these Dr. Peppers in our refrigerator? I said, well, honey, I did. Why did you do that? I said, because I found out you love them, so I thought I'd have one there for you when you want it. She said, but I have no discipline. If they're in the refrigerator, I drink too many a day. So, of course, as a loving, sweet wife, I told her, I said, well, woman, learn some discipline. Well, that didn't go over too well. You know, that don't go over too well. So I had to take the Dr. Peppers out of the house. And then when we'd start somewhere, she'd say, stop by the grocery store and the machine's outside and get me a Dr. Pepper. Well, I'd buy her one and me one because I liked them too. And one day we were going over here to Louisville to a health food store. And so we'd stopped and got us a Dr. Pepper, canned Dr. Pepper. We're drinking it on the way. And we get to the store. We still got a little in the can. And I walked into the health food store with my Dr. Pepper hand. And the lady that I know there, she says, what is that you've got in your hand? I thought I had a rattlesnake in my hand. I said, I ain't got nothing in my hand. She said, you do. That can. I said, what's a Dr. Pepper? She said, Thurman, you are a man of God and you would defile your temple with that? I said, I didn't know I was defiling my temple. She said, do you know that when you drink one can of Dr. Pepper, it takes 30 8-ounce glasses of water to bring the pH back to normal in your body. I said, I had no idea. She said, I didn't think you did, or you wouldn't have been drinking that thing. I said, okay, that's one here. I just dropped it in the trash can, and I said, that's the last one. Now then, how many years ago has that been, honey? 3 or 4? 4? You know how many Dr. Peppers I've drank in the last 4 years? That's right, girl. None. I mean, if I learned that those things are going to destroy my temple, what am I going to do? Keep drinking them? No, not me. Now then, that's like a lot of things, you know. I tell a lot of people about things that will destroy your body, like smoking. You know, in fact, we saw a commercial the other day, and I didn't know what this was about. I happened to turn on the news, and, and on the TV, and they showed a whole bunch of people walked up on this deal in the street of some big city, and it said, here's 1,200 people. I had no idea what was going to happen. All of a sudden, all 1,200 of them just fell out, and they run the camera over all of the people. Said, now, all of these people have just died. Well, I wonder what killed them. They said, 1,200 people a day die in the United States because of smoking. And I thought, holy cow. And to think that people pay money for a pack that says on the pack, it says smoking causes cancer. And now I can understand if you're lost. But if you're a Christian, I can't understand this. I mean, we as Christians, the way I look at it, we're supposed to be a notch above, aren't we? We're supposed to have a brain, and it's supposed to be working. And the brain we got up there is supposed to be from God. We have the mind of Christ. Is that what it says? If we have the mind of Christ, you would think God would say, okay, I just showed you a commercial where 1,200 people died in the United States of America, so whatever you do, don't never put one of those things in your mouth again. Well, I never had put one in my mouth anyway. I've never been a smoker. But if I was, hey, that would convince me. But you know, I tell people all the time, that smoke, you need to stop smoking. Next time I see them, they still stink like a cigarette factory. You know, they did not quit. Or you tell them about drinking Dr. Peppers, and next time you see them, they got a can in their hand. Oh, it's not going to hurt me. Yeah, it will. It's going to cut your life short. But they don't believe. But anyway, right here, this lady got some instructions. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink or eat any forbidden foods. Now, did God say, unless that you don't have anything good to eat, then you can eat grapes and raisins? What did he say? You must not. Is that what he said? That's pretty clear, isn't it? You must not. So, like I say, if you have children or grandchildren or whatever, and they're going to bear children, and the mother, the wife, gets pregnant, it might be a good idea for you to try to share with the woman, the daughter, daughter-in-law, whoever she is or whatever, that she, while she's carrying that baby.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, God's Ways Are Not Our Ways, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.